Here we go. Give me a count around, Joel.
3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime!
Just swinging in the breeze.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you gotta get up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies down at Lincoln Path. For the show names, go direct to DLSGS.org. And I see challenges at NXT.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1023 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep.
And, well, Murph is still there because he's waiting for me to ask my question, which I'll get to in a minute. And maybe Dave Sexy Yates, or as he likes to call himself, Tilt. We'll get in. I don't. He seems to be having problems connecting to the Mumble server. But before I ask my question, to give Dave a little bit of time, this is the start of the sadness, Joel. It began this week. We have finally put to rest our old environment, which we called Presto Next. That was completely in GKE. This is the environment that went from what we built with Chef, what we built with Chef servers, Chef client and stuff, in on-prem, then to AWS, then into GKE. It was what used Solr, what used RabbitMQ, and what used Couchbase. And Monday, I shut down all the servers in production, the remaining servers in production. And by servers, I mean the Kubernetes containers in production for that product, that service application suite. Shut down the RabbitMQ servers, and we are out all but the production Couchbase clusters. And the reason why they're not shut down yet is because we are taking that one final backup of, well, I did a final backup of the whole thing, all the buckets in the cluster in both east and west, and that's over on our storage up there in Google, our backup of that, and that's going to last for 14 days, and then I have we just have one bucket that we need to retain for potential legal issues to retrieve documents out of. And that is going into archival storage. I took the full backup starting Monday afternoon. It finished this morning or sometime early this morning. So it was finished when I got into work. It's like 4.5 terabytes in size. I transferred that to both our current backup and also just transferred it over. I started that before I left or stopped working. Not that I left work, because I work from home. I started that when I was close to being finished for the day, transferring that into Google Archival Storage. The Archival Storage is the longest storage, cheapest storage, so to speak, that you can get. And it's cheap because it's made for disaster recovery, long-term, like, archival storage. That it's like the data center we're in is in South Carolina, so it's like 0.0002 cents per gigabyte. And this is we're looking at like about 5 terabytes. So it's dirt cheap, but the restrictions that where you start to eat the cost on this is to pull stuff from there or transfer from that storage to whatever is at a far higher rate than any other storage capacity. I mean, it's like a cent or something like that per gigabyte, or it's significantly more expensive than just standard storage transfer rates. And then I guess what we usually have is nearline, where we store our backup, so it's a little more expensive than that. And then also you have to maintain, or the data has to live in there for a year, or you get charged a penalty for deleting it, so to speak. And I don't know if they charge you, if it's, there's a penalty. I have to double check that. I don't know if it's a penalty or they're going to still charge you the whole year for whatever data that you put in there. So it has to stay on the archival storage for a year. Whereas nearline, I believe, is like 90 days, I think 60 or 90 days. But what remains to be done is once that's transferred over, I did get a external hard drive, a 5-6 terabyte external hard drive. I bought this before I fully knew what the final backup of the bucket was going to be. I figured it was probably going to be 4.5 terabytes, but it's possible it could have been a little bigger, and I didn't want to end up getting a 5-terabyte drive and not having enough store, you know, it'd be like 5.1 terabytes or something like that. So I did get a 6-terabyte external Western Digital Elements. It was the cheapest one there. Work paid for. Work is reimbursing me for it. If I would have bought this device, I would have kind of been a little pissed off. And not being too familiar with large capacity external drives or large capacity drives in general, it's USB 3, but the connector onto the drive, I don't know if it's a proprietary connection or what, but it almost looks, it looks like a micro USB.
That is a USB 3 connection.
Oh, that's USB 3?
It's a micro B connection.
So oh,
it is a 3.0 connection, but it's micro B.
Okay, so it's correct. Not a proprietary connection.
No,
it's not.
All right, because I'm like, I looked at it, and I'm like, I've never seen this type of connection before. And
you had some phones that had it for a while.
Yep, my
Note 3.
The 3, yeah. Now, see, and the nice thing was is that if you didn't need the speed and you were just charging it, you can plug a regular micro USB cable, and yeah, you just plug it into the larger side. Yeah, correct. Kind of similar to how they did something similar with the first Android phone. The G1 had a weird one too.
I think you can actually transfer data with the micro cable. It's just going to be at the slower 2.0 speed.
Right. Correct.
Now the thing that like is kind of chapping my ass about this is that it wasn't recognized by my work laptop. And I put it into my, I just connected it to
your
dongle, my laptop I'm working with here, and it's not showing up in here either, and I don't know why.
Did you ever format it?
Well, I mean, it's not even showing up as a device.
Take it back.
So I might have to, and I'm like, well, what? Like, what am I doing wrong?
Top won't let me connect anything to it.
So I'm like, what is there something I'm not doing right on this thing?
You could also try is it the portable style?
Yeah, it's just external.
So there's no AC pack, right?
No, there is. There's a well.
Ah, okay.
I haven't.
Well, then
I'd in.
Take it back. Yeah.
The light is on, but it doesn't seem to be doing anything. And I'm like, is there something that I need to do to get this thing? Like,
it should have been at either Fat 32.
Yeah, you're right.
Or XFAT or NTFS, one of those three.
Yeah, and it should like show up as a device. It should even like the OS should be recognizing that something is plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, and I'm not quite sure why. Really weird. I can feel the drive spinning. Maybe there's some combination of buttons I need to press on this thing. But piss me off. I don't want to have to send it back.
Have you tried connecting it to anything else?
Well, this is the second system. I just came today. Like, I just pulled it out and tried it like a little while ago. And I just tried to connect it into my machine here. I thought and maybe it was an OS 10 thing.
Did it read?
Did I read the directions?
No. Did it read on the device you just hooked it up to?
No, it's not showing up.
Did like, you try like an LSUSB to see or open up Gparted?
I did try LSUSB. It's not showing up there. I've done LSBLK. It's not showing up there. I've done DMessage. It's not showing like anything was connected in here.
And you were using the cable that came with it?
Yeah, using the cable that came with it.
Okay. Well, it's probably on the inside. The actual connection itself probably has just a loose solder joint. But yes, it's right. Brand new. You should send that shit back.
Which I think I'm probably going to have to, because I don't see a way to open this thing up. And last thing I want to do is...
There isn't.
Yeah, last thing I want to do is open this thing up and void the warranty.
It's most likely you have to pop off one of the ends in order to be able to take it apart. But you should send it back because you just bought it, and if you take it apart, there goes the warranty.
Yep.
Yeah, no. I think I'm probably going to have to do that. That just ticks me off. Although, to be fair, I ordered it Monday. It came today. Yeah, it came today, so... Not a big deal to ship me out a new one, just to come here in 2 days. But
it's amazing how fast stuff ships nowadays.
Yeah, I was surprised because I have a this pisses me off, and I don't know what to do about it. But I have a cordless lawnmower, and I thought either the battery charger had gone or the battery went. So I ordered a new charger and I charged the two batteries, and that kind of took forever, and I put them in. Like, I charged the one battery that I thought was dead, and then when I went to go try and start it, it still wouldn't start. And so I charged the other battery, and then I put it in, and it still wouldn't start. But then I finagled the switch a little bit, and then it started. But then if I stopped it, I couldn't get it started again. So I thought that the switch, there was a problem, like maybe it was loose in the switch. Because it's got one of those, like it's a bar thing. Like you push a button in on the side, and you squeeze the little bar, the handlebar thing, and then it starts it up, and you just go. So I thought whatever mechanism in there just wasn't,
cable like probably
well, it wasn't
yeah.
working. So I took it apart, and all it is just the button engages an extra like layer in there that when you pull the handle, it pushes against this little like these three wires, positive, negative, and neutral, go into this switch. Which is just like a spring switch that defaults to being off, but when you push the button in, you pull the lever, it pushes the switch to on, and that's the way it goes. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe it's not making a connection. So when I put the switch to on, it still wasn't going. And I'm like, well, oh, shit, what is it? Like, what's the problem with this thing now? Is it the switch? Is it a short in the cable somewhere? Is it something on the motor? So, like, I would play around with the switch part, and sometimes it would engage and go, and sometimes it wouldn't. And it was, like, more often, like, it would work, like, 15% of the time, if that. So I took the best I could. I looked at, pulled up the casing on the wires to see that it looked like the solder was good on there. I didn't see any problems with the wires, but it's all encased in this thick plastic that goes all the way down into the engine, into the motor. So I took the whole thing apart, and I couldn't see anything wrong inside. Nothing I tried made a difference. So I'm like, at this point, I'm like, is there something wrong with, like, the motor side of it? Or is there a problem with the switch? Where would I get another switch? You know, it's like, it's one of those things. Like, I don't know where else to go with that. And I had ordered, well, that's just a big explanation for the fact that I thought my battery was bad. So I ordered, like, before I took the thing apart, I went and ordered another battery. And I ordered that on Saturday, and it showed up on Monday. And that was directly from the company. And I was like, wow, I was really surprised it showed up that fast. So now I have three working batteries, a good charger, but the mower doesn't work anymore. So now I'm like, well, what am I going to do, you know? I could send a battery back, I guess.
At least it's the end of the year.
Yeah, I had to break out my corded mower and do it that way. Mr. Yates, are you there?
We can't hear him.
Well, that's because he hasn't turned his microphone on. I see him sitting there.
Press the button, man.
Push the button, Dave. He's probably talking at us in IRC.
Now, let's see.
All right. Here's my question. Because where did I see this? I'm trying to over the weekend, my wife and I were just laying in bed watching old commercials on YouTube from the early 80s.
Yeah.
And here's my question. And this is from Murph and Joel. I think this is going to resonate with you. But I'm really curious whether it resonates with Joe. Because I'm not sure it's going to. But do you remember back in the day, like early 80s, about once a year, a local TV station would end up doing a promotion with either like a fast food restaurant or a grocery store maybe or whatever, where they would show a 3D movie on TV, and you could go there and get the glasses, glasses, like, to watch them.
Yeah, we had one with like a 7-Eleven was where you got the glasses. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that too. They would do that. They would do the red blue lenticular. Is that lenticular? Whatever it is, the red blue glasses, and show a 3D movie, something corny.
Do you know what we're talking about, Jeff?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know if that was before your time. Now, here's my question.
It really was, because I would have been a really young kid. So.
Yeah. Now, here's my question. How many of you didn't get the glasses, but your parents tried to make you glasses with, like, colored plastic?
Nope.
No, I didn't go down that road.
No, really? Because my wife was telling me her mom took Sharpies on, like, plastic wrap and tried to make her, like, color in that. Or she got, like, the acetate. And I remember getting, like, colored plastic from my art class or whatever. And, like, bringing it home and having, like, my dad tried to make me glasses. And never, you know, even with the regular glasses, it still didn't work out perfectly. watching 3D on TV, but we had a chuckle about that. I was just curious if everybody else had a similar experience, and whether Joe, you had that experience.
See, I remember
a little younger than us.
I definitely remember it was like a 7-Eleven or maybe it was Wawa, because I would have been in high school. I was in the Philly area for like half of it, and then the other half I was in York.
But, I'm pretty sure it was 7-Eleven, because I think I remember that 7-Eleven had done that promo, because where I lived there weren't that many Wawas, and I hadn't gone to a Wawa until, oh my goodness, I'm gonna say I was out of high school sometime after that.
Right. Well, you see, okay, throwback Thursday, 1982, 3D broadcast of Revenge of the Creature.
That was the sequel to Creature of the Black Lagoon, right? I remember when they were playing that.
I don't remember.
So
it was Pizza Hut or 7-Eleven on that one.
So
that movie's on YouTube.
In 3D?
I'm guessing.
Because I know they had, you could watch Revenge of the Creature not in 3D, but there was a couple of movies that they had released or re-released in the 80s. Revenge of the Creature, there was another old black and white one. I can't remember what it's called now. But there was like three of them, I think, that were in 3D that they had released right around the same period into the theaters, and then they were show them on TV a little after that.
And it would have been 7-Eleven or Arco, because at that time, looking at when this movie came out, we were either in Western Pennsylvania and Sheetz wasn't a thing yet, or Athens, Ohio.
Can you hear me now, Dan?
I can hear you.
Yeah,
finally.
There he is.
Doggone, I don't know what's going on.
maybe you need to learn how to use your operating system, Dave.
Yeah, I think so. It's
better uninstall that stuff and put Windows back on there for you.
Oh, no. I was trying to ask you what kind of lawnmower you had, Dan.
Oh, it's a Sunjo.
Okay. I've heard of that one.
Can't help you. My son-in-law works for the company that builds the Ryobi battery-powered stuff.
Oh, Ryobi.
Oh, neat.
You know, I have a Ryobi story, too, right? So here's my problem with these things, and I hate it. Like, I love mowing lawn, but I hate weeding. And I have a corded weed whacker, and I was like, I just hate dragging the cord out. I hate going around the yard with it. I'm going to get a battery-powered weed whacker. And I'm like, well, I got the Sunjo stuff, so maybe I should, because I have those batteries, maybe I should get one of their weed whackers. And then we were looking around for, like, the cheapest one that, you know, a cheap one that we could get.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that there was Ryobi that was a really good deal, right? Because somebody had got it and then they were getting rid of it. And so it was eBay or something. I forget what it was. And it was like brand new. But they, I don't know why they didn't want it. And it said it comes with a battery, and I have Ryobi batteries here, but they're old, and after about like a year and a half, they don't seem to keep a good charge.
Right.
So we bought it and it came in, and sure enough, it did not have the charger or the batteries with it at all. And I'll say, okay, not a big deal. I'll just use the batteries I have. Well, the batteries I have aren't the right amperage.
They don't fit. Yeah,
and,
they don't
well,
fit
they
the
do.
Other one
they
either.
Needed the 40 volt.
Yeah, I need. Right, yeah, that's yeah, right. Okay. I have, it's like 20 volts. I need a 40 volt. So it's like I get like 10 minutes, if that, of charge. then I have to go back in. So like, all right, I'm going to go buy a new battery. So I go down to Home Depot because there's where they sell the Ryobi, and they're like $150 for a 40-volt battery.
Seriously, and like, not cheap.
And I was like, I remember when these things were like $40 like a year ago or something like that. And the guy's like, yeah, they've really gone up in price. And he's like, well, I'll tell you what, there's apparently a refurbished warehouse out of Williamsburg, and they're like $50 there. He says you can buy them online. So I was like, all right, I'll do it sometime in the fall or whatever. So I have perfectly working batteries for a Sun Joe, which no longer works, and I have a great like weed whacker that I need to get batteries for because my batteries are dead. Like, they're not going to cut the mustard on this thing. It's like, yeah. What a fucking fiasco. It'd be nice if they all took the same battery, right?
Yeah, wouldn't it, though? But, no, I have something similar when it comes to the Ryobi batteries. I went to Home Depot in order to get a new battery. And because of the way the sales worked, and this was a couple of years ago, it actually ended up being cheaper for me to buy their combo pack that came with the battery. So it was less to buy two drills with a battery than it was to buy a battery.
It's as bad as razor blades and printer ink.
Yep.
Wait, I'm sorry. You said it was what? It was cheaper to what?
It was cheaper to buy two drills because it was a combo pack that came with the battery than it was to just buy the battery on its own.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah.
Yep. So you got like the regular drill and the impact one.
Yep.
And that's the thing. I'm like, I should just go buy one of the devices. You know. I also used to see them like you could buy a charger and a battery for like. It was like $70 or something like that. And now you can't find the battery for more.
No, if you went in there and you went and looked at the 40-volt like weed whackers right now, and it probably came with a battery and came with a charger, and it was probably less than just buying a new battery.
Heck, you might be able to go into a Lowe's or a Home Depot and get a new lawnmower on clearance. If you really need one, because I mean, it's that time of year to start clearing those out to make room for like snowblowers and shit.
Need to get you one of those robotic lawnmowers, Dan.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
you
go. Roomba lawnmower, whatever.
Yeah, weren't we talking about the robotic lawnmowers a couple of weeks ago? And I said I couldn't have one because one of my neighbors would drive up on my lawn and run it over.
Probably. I have one of the iRobot, the Brava mop bot, you know, the one that mops the floor. Because I got my new house, Dave has all flooring downstairs. No carpet.
So, with you guys, did Christmas stuff start coming out on the shelves in, like, September?
Yes.
Yep.
Like, not only did they skip Thanksgiving this year, but they had like a week's worth of Halloween stuff out, and then they're like, to hell with it, it's going to be a horrible year for sales, so let's start Christmas early.
Yep. I've actually already started. I came up with an idea for, we always have an annual Christmas party, we have ever since we moved into this house. Have my wife's side of the family over, and I'll make some desserts, and we'll like have hors d'oeuvres and crap like that. And I'm making 3D printing a snowflake ornament with their family's name on it. So like I'm making one for the Wilkinsons and for the Englers and all the family that's gonna come over, and I'm gonna put a little tree on the island where the food is usually at, and they can take their ornament home. But I started printing them, and I had a failure this morning. It wrapped around the thermistor cable, and it's of course now solidified around that. I can't get the damn cable, the plastic off the cable, so I just ordered another hot end and I also ordered, there's a breakout board that goes on the back of the extruder. I have the Sprite extruder on my Creality CR10 3D Smart Pro. CR10 Smart Pro. Yeah. So, and that has their direct drive extruder. So, I have the backup extruder, so basically I can be back up tomorrow, but I'm going to take the existing one I've been using, which is the one it came with, and I'm going to fix it up so I have it set up as a backup so that the only thing I have to do is move over the CR Touch, which does the bed leveling. But
the other thing that we have here is we have these people that are going around to all the stores and buying up all of the Halloween stuff or all of the interesting Christmas stuff and then turning around and selling it online for like 5 times what they paid for it.
Yeah, well, that's crap.
Embarrassingly enough, I've lost a battle. My youngest daughter, the only kid I got still at home, her excuse is it helps her serotonin level. We're putting the Christmas tree up this Saturday.
Oh, no.
I think that's
absolutely ridiculous.
It's not Thanksgiving yet. You can't put that up.
We put it up after Thanksgiving. Yeah, we put it up this early last year. I lost the battle twice, but...
Well, you know why that is, right, Dave?
Tell me. I wish I did.
You're a hillbilly. That's what a friend of mine, he says. I have friends that do that same thing, too. And he, on Facebook and stuff, he'll just say hillbilly.
Small-town country folk, I reckon. I don't know.
It
doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's like when, like, I have it's Pumpkin Show Week in Circleville, which is the last, like, festival in Ohio, okay? Because it's starting to get cold. And there's people down there, they have, you know, the typical stuff you'd see at a fair, you know, and stuff like that. And there's people, and some of that stuff, like, I can go buy all I need to make it, like sausages. I can get the exact sausage they have at these fairs, all right? They're local. So I don't buy those anymore. Anything like that, anything that I can make or get here like without having to go there, I will buy it or make it here versus buying it down there. So, I mean, there's people that will spend thousands of dollars at this thing. It's crazy. And you can buy pumpkins there, but it's such a pain in the ass to get them out of the show. I don't do it. I'm just going to go over to Sam's Club and get a couple. But, and I also will not buy my candy until about a week out, because if I buy it any sooner, then I'll eat it.
We don't have trick-or-treaters. We live on a dead-end street, but my wife hits the grocery store the day after Halloween.
Day after, and
buys it all half price, yeah.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the candy companies took back their Halloween ones, unwrapped them and rewrapped them with Christmas. Because they'll have the same damn thing at Christmas. It's like... Yeah. That's the other thing. One other thing I'm going to try and pick up there before the show. Last day of the show is on Saturday, and I'm going to go down at least one more time. And I want to get me some pumpkin butter. You ever had that, Dave?
I have not. I don't know what that is.
It's the very best description I can call it is if you've had apple butter.
Okay, I know what that is.
It's very similar to that, except it's got pumpkin in it. So it's literally the same texture and all that. So you can put it on toast or something.
I have a quick question. It's been so long since I've mucked around with this, but
yes,
a drive that's about 5-6 terabytes in size. What what should the file system type be?
Oh, depends on your operating system, of course. If it's Windows, NTFS. Yeah,
I don't want NTFS because it's got to be using an OS X system. So I got it to be recognized on another machine here.
There you
but
go.
But it's NTFS. So I'm like.
Okay. Trying to remember if XFAT should work on it.
Extension 3?
Well, that's Linux. The Linux answer.
Yeah, that. But I'm going to need to use this on OS X, I think.
What is. I don't even remember what the default format is on Mac anymore. I thought it was
HFS.
Plus.
Isn't it HFS? Yeah. So I don't see, like, I'm looking here and I'm like, I don't see anything in here.
APFS, actually. But I don't know if Linux can do that.
Like.
Yeah, I think you got to get some extra stuff added in to be able to do anything other than NTFS and extension 3.
Or 4.
3, 4, yeah.
I think XFAT will work for that, won't it? For Mac.
Yeah, but when I'm setting the partition type, what's it gotta be?
A GUID, I think.
Maybe I can't use CF disk on this, can I? Because I have like there's EFI system, MBR, Intel, BIOS, Sony, Lenovo, like all these. I'm like, what is it just for? There's Microsoft Reserve, basic data, LDM, LDM data, recover. Like, where is the? What am I missing here?
See, I'm looking at. Let's look at. Let's see.
Alright, so it's 5.5 terabyte. Sorry, let me just delete
MBR
that partition.
MBR should work on that, too.
Alright, new partition. Set it there.
Call it XFAT. Try that. Oh, wait.
But I don't have an XFAT type.
This okay. Well, that's a Windows thing. It says XFAT's used for Windows volumes that are 32 gigabyte or less. Well, I know. Max should be able to read NTFS.
What's the partitioning? So there's F.
I think F-disk has been deprecated. I think you're supposed to use parted now.
Yeah, G-parted. I would go G-parted.
Or parted's the command line, I think.
Right, parted's the command line. G-parted's the graphical one. I would go with G-parted. But the thing is, being able to... You have to pick an operating... A format that Mac... And Linux will read, and Windows possibly.
All right, let me see here. Gosh.
Can't get everyone to use the XT3 like a proper operating system, you know.
I don't even have Gparted on here.
Apt install Gparted.
I'm sorry, it's called Pac-Man.
I'm sorry.
S-Y-U G-parted.
Yeah, S-Y-U G-parted, right.
It's I could just look up departed commands. We'll see.
I said earlier in the show, I was telling Dan, Dave, that I put Ubuntu 23.10 on my Pi 4.
Yeah, like Manic Manatee or something. What is it? What's the silly name?
Manic Manatee. Bantic. Dang it. It has a bull on it.
Minotaur.
Yeah, that's it. Minotaur.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. It's okay. It's still... I think the Pi 4 is still a little slow for the default GNOME desktop that Ubuntu uses now.
Everything a flat pack? Or
well, I'm kind of waiting for the 64-bit, the latest 64-bit version of Raspberry Pi OS. I don't know if your Sam's Clubs are doing this, if you're a Sam's Club member, but I picked up a 128-gigabyte card at Sam's Club for like $11. That's a good deal.
Yeah, that's worth getting.
Take a look in Micro Center, too. I got a 228-gig cards for, I think, 15?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very hit or miss on the Micro Center cards on how long they last.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love the price. And I will get them still because they are so cheap. But sometimes they last years, and then sometimes they last a couple of months.
Yeah.
Pick them up, you roll the dice, you take your chances.
Yeah, at that price, it's kind of worth it to take a chance.
I buy those for my 3D printer.
I bought them for pies. And I was just wondering if anybody had picked up the Pi 5 yet, but you probably would have already mentioned it if you had.
It's on pre-order. They're not shipping yet.
Oh, okay.
I do have one. I actually have. I have a Pi 5 on pre-order. I have the official power supply. I have the official case, the cooler. And I have the real-time clock battery coming too.
Yeah, I have no real hope for, you know, like buying a used one or anything at a better price.
Right.
The price doesn't come down on used Raspberry Pis.
I'd probably get one after Christmas.
Yeah, I'd like to probably build mine into would be like a CyberDeck.
Yeah. Oh, but then the screen cost for an appropriately sized screen. I've seen a couple of interesting CyberDeck builds with Pis, or even...
I have the official Pi Foundation 7-inch screen in a Vilrose case, and it's just too damn small. I mean...
Recent YouTube video where somebody did a CyberDeck with... one of those modular laptops that you can buy?
Yes. Oh, Framework. I've seen that
Framework, yeah. That was an interesting build.
Everyone seems to be building them in, like, Pelican cases. And I can't... Well, I just don't want to spend... Well, actually, I found one that costs less. That's still waterproof. An HUL 11x8x5 waterproof military style hard case for customizable pluck foam interior, which I don't care about that. That's going to come out. If I'm building a cyber deck in it, that's coming out. But I found a 15 inch portable monitor, 2020. It's a Chinese one, $89, 1080p, and it has VESA mounts on the back too.
Well, if it's a 15-inch, aren't you building more of a laptop?
Yeah, laptop,
than a cyber
right. Yeah, I didn't put it this way. I haven't ordered it yet. I might look a little bit smaller. I want to see if I can get a similar resolution, but maybe around a 10-inch size, maybe. I do like this one, though, because it has full-size HDMI and USB-C ports on it. And a micro, it has a micro USB on the front. Mm-hmm. There is a 10-inch one that's close to that. If it's not perfectly 1080p, I'm okay with it. But it has to be higher resolution than my 7-inch.
By the time you're done, you might as well just buy one of the kits.
Well, it's like somebody has made a kit where you can basically drop the Pi 400 down into it. I think it's Vilros. But it's actually more like a laptop.
The Pi 400 is built into the keyboard, right? But
yep.
So you're talking about a kit where you replace the Raspberry Pi 4 or whatever's in there with the Raspberry Pi 5 in the keyboard?
No, I think he meant you basically attach a screen to the thing.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I can 3D print the case, you know, if I really have to. There actually, speaking of the Pi 400, there is an actual board you can buy, which lets you put, like, I think it's a... It's too small for me, but it's a, I think it's like a 3-inch screen, and it's made to plug just right into the GPIO port that you have on the back side of the Pi 400. So I want to say, did Adafruit make that?
I had one of those cases that came with like a 3-inch screen that you could use for the, I think it was the Pi 2. It was either the Pi 1 or the Pi 2. I think it was the Pi 2. And I used that for a long time. You just had to load in your, the drivers from Adafruit. It worked pretty well. It was still a really tiny screen with horrible resolution, but it worked.
Now, Dave, have you ever bought a laptop off of AliExpress?
No. I've never bought anything off of there. But for really no good reason, except that it takes like, you know, 3 months for it to get here. And I'm more impatient than that.
I was going to say, I am too. I'm impatient, plus I don't know whether to trust Chewy.
Yeah.
Miss.
So let's see the board.
Isn't
I
that
ordered.
The place where you order your dog food over the internet and get it delivered to you?
I thought that was Temu.
They have Wookiees on staff that actually build the laptops, and they're the ones yes. that send them.
Or Alibaba. I know good old the digital dragon, Lord Drakenblue, God rest his soul. He used to buy stuff off air all the time, off of AliExpress all the time. I'm impatient. Yeah, because I'm on there now. There's the Xiaomi 11-inch Android 12, which has a Snapdragon 870 octa-core for $21.98.
Way back in the day, I used to buy stuff from Chinese sellers, and then, you know, you get your credit card information stolen a couple of times, and yeah, you
exactly.
just
exactly, yeah.
yeah. Speaking of way back in the day, I saw a news article, I guess, or a web story, whatever they called, last week that Red Hat's shutting down its mail servers or the security announcement mail server. And they're moving to RSS, but I just, you know, back when I first started using Linux, I was on dial up, and the only way I could even figure out how to do anything being the Red Hat's mailing list. I don't know if they shut them all down or just that one, but they're moving everything to RSS, which makes sense.
All right. Well, I think it was last week. I try to remember when Android 14 dropped, but I got it on my Pixel 6 Pro. It's working great. Just yesterday, though, I got Wear OS 4 on my Pixel Watch.
Somebody to get the Pixel 8 so I can see some reviews.
Yep.
See if it's actually any good or not. And generally, if it will properly do, like, a VM.
That's a good question. I don't know about that part. I know I've been seeing, what I've been seeing has been generally positive. The camera has been rated real good. But the watches, like, I'm not going to, like, unless I got, like, an offer to get the Pixel Watch 2 for free, I'm not going to go buy that one. But I'm probably going to get the 8 Pro come probably around February next year, I think. It depends. I got to see how far I am to paying off my 6 Pro.
I won't get the 8 till my 7 dies. Now I noticed my battery life's better on the 7 with...
with Android 14? You should have it already.
I do. Have you had any overheating issues with your 6 Pro?
Never had any problems. Yeah.
So they say 14 was supposed to fix that, but yeah.
The only problem I ever had is one time I was coming out of the gym, and I dropped it, and I cracked not the top layer of glass, but the screen itself. So I had to go to a U-Break I Fix and have them fix the screen on it. But other than that, you know, and that was just my own damn fault.
You know what?
But the Pixel Watch I'm liking them very much so, though. What, Dan?
Guess what? Guess what dipshit did?
You just ordered a Pixel 8?
No, guess what dipshit did?
What did dipshit do?
I'm like, all right. So I took Gparted, wiped out NTFS, right? And I formatted XFAT.
Mm-hmm.
Then I plugged it back into this laptop. And I'm like running DMS. I'm running LSUSB. I'm like, the fucking thing is not working. I'm like, what could it possibly be? Why is it not working? And I'm like, okay, so I'm like, is it a kernel thing? So the machine's running, the Arch machine I formatted on is running 6.2. Come over here and it's running 5 something. And I'm like, okay, and I'm plugging in. I'm like, what is the fucking problem? It's because I'm SSH'd into another system. I'm like, you idiot. You're in the system that plays the audio, so I switch to another tab, and sure enough, there it is. And I'm like, I feel like such an idiot.
You have unraveled the secrets of your own mind then.
No, I don't know if he's done that yet. Oh, that was super smooth, man. Sounds like stuff I've done.
Oh. So now, yeah, now I just gotta get... I gotta get XFAT installed on this thing. Anyway.
Ooh. Hey.
But I don't know why it wasn't being recognized by OS X. That doesn't make sense.
Here's a decent deal, Joe. Vilros has the Raspberry Pi 0W Basic Starter Kit, which comes with the 0W, the header, a power supply. Looks like ribbon cable and a bunch of different accessories for $50.
Cool.
That ain't bad.
Well, the W0 is normally supposed to be, what, a $15 device?
Yeah, but this is coming with a whole bunch of accessories, too. There we go. one of these days I need to save up enough cash to get one of them Ugreen. They have a 200 and a 300 watt USB-C multi-charger. I definitely want to get something like that before I go to Virginia again.
Get a what? A multi-charger?
One of these. I'm going to put it in.
Well, now I got to go over there and click on a link. That's the Raspberry Pi thing. When are you going to put this link in there? Oh, there it is. $269. What happened to Joel?
I don't know.
Joel, $269? Oh, he's not back yet. Anyway.
That's a really expensive charger.
Like, you just buy a whole new phone.
Right?
Holy mackerel.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That's a 300-watt charger, and it would be, you know, awesome to have, but I definitely don't want to pay that price. Oh, there's a $70 coupon. You can get it for $200.
It should be a $200 coupon. Then I would buy it.
Right?
Holy mackerel. I guess you can charge all those devices at one time?
Probably. But if you scroll down, it shows the different wattages that it has. Like 140 watt for the top, 100 watt for the second, 100 watt for the third one, 45 watt for the fourth one, and 22.5 for the regular B.
Well, that's overkill for my Raspberry Pi devices, isn't it?
You were looking at that power supply I put in the mobile chat.
Yeah, $270, man. Holy cow.
I know, right? But you can do, like, multiple ports can do over 100 watts. So it's like, yeah, it's overkill for most Raspberry Pis, but... Which, see, if I had something like that, I can power my laptop, charge my phone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do have the Anker 737 battery pack. That thing is awesome. That has... It'll do 140 watt out, 24,000 milliamp hours, and it has two USB-C ports and a USB-A port.
And wait, this, we're talking about a different one now, aren't you?
Yes,
you
I am.
That
yeah.
one too?
Give me a sec, I will. This is a power bank, actually.
How much is that one? $169?
$99. Woo. There we go. And I end up charging it a lot of the times. My MacBook for work came with the standard MacBook, I think the 90 watt hour or 140 watt hour. I don't know what the power capability is of it, but it'll charge up to like, I've seen it charge up this thing up to 90%. It charges it in like a half an hour. And this thing will charge my phone multiple times and my iPad multiple times. And I have an iPad because I haven't found a damn Android tablet that gets support for more than a year. Unlike the Jide, well, the Jide didn't get that. That was part of the problem with the Jide.
I think we'd be replacing that fucker. I bought it.
Yeah, no shit, man.
What was that, Murph?
I didn't say anything.
Who said something?
I just said no shit, man.
I thought somebody was saying something when you said no shit.
No.
Like I hadn't said about, yeah. Oh, man, I missed the job. Don't get me started, Joel.
I know, right? Well, I see you were running it on Linux on a Surface now, right?
Yeah, but it's not the same. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just...
Yeah, Surface...
it's great, it's but...
Took a lot more power. So takes great. A lot more power. Yeah, the Jive was almost perfect. I mean, it was very low power.
You know what? I think what got me about the Jive was... It was like having my phone, but larger. And you couldn't make phone calls, but... Not that I would want to make phone calls on a device that big. Like, the Surface Pro and all that stuff, it works great, but... Like, I would love to have it as a replacement for my phone... And I could sit there and watch YouTube, like what I do on my phone. I could do, like, almost all of it. But it doesn't have, like, I use my phone a lot to read Kindle books. And it doesn't have, like, the Kindle app. But it does, you can still read it through the cloud. And it works pretty damn good. Don't get me wrong on there. But it's just not the same. You know, and I really used to like reading Marvel Unlimited. But, again, that's an app on Android. And it's not going to work like
it's
that.
Not Caliber to handle your, at least your Kindle books.
Yeah, then you got to crack them, though, don't you?
Well, you don't have to crack them, per se. You do have to put in your code from Amazon in order for it to be able to read them.
It's like Google brought out that Pixel tablet. And I like the idea of it. And at least it comes with the speaker dock, right? You know, but I'd rather have one that was just a tablet, you know. And I don't need the extra stuff that what it's sitting on the dock, if you know what I mean.
I've never had a tablet. I mean, other than a Kindle or a Kindle Paperwhite, I've never had a tablet. I bought my daughter, youngest daughter, for school, an iPad.
Right.
It's nice. I mean, but I just don't like the form factor. I don't want something.
It's like we were discussing folding phones, which I probably will never delve into, unless they figure out a way to not have a crease. And I hear people say, "Well, you don't see it after you're using it for a while." I'm like, "Bullshit!"
I
see it every damn fucking time. yeah, I see the damn thing every fucking time I opened it. I'd be like, "Man, I spent this much money on this, and it looks like it's got masking tape over it." That's why I like having the separate tablet and a phone. I'm also like one of the other advertised features of Android 14 was monochrome interface. I want colors. It is a non-feature. Some people will like that shit. Me, I'm like, no. I have enough monochrome in my life, especially this time of year where Ohio is like all gray fucking sky. Although today was nice.
The AI-generated wallpaper.
Do you have that?
That looks. It's coming. They say it's going to roll it out to the other Pixel devices, but that looks pretty cool. I mean,
Yeah, I get bored of my wallpaper every once in a while, and then I usually end up switching back to one of the defaults.
I use Musi, which is sort of like Variety, you know, in a sense.
Right.
You can point it to a subreddit, you know, Earth Porn or something, and it'll pull down random wallpapers, and you can apply a blur to it, and that's what I use.
But, well, the one thing I like with the Pixel Watch update that just came this week is finally when I get a new phone, I will not have to erase my watch to move it from one phone to the next. Because you used to have to do that. Which is kind of a pain. But like I watched like a pumpkin show. How much did I walk at pumpkin show today? A lot.
How long were you at the pumpkin show?
Two, three hours.
At least 15 minutes.
Oh, way longer than 15 minutes. I got over 10,000 steps today.
Well,
3.6 miles. Yeah, 3.6 miles. So it's not as fast as like when I do, like, my heart didn't get elevated as much as it does when I do the treadmill because I'm walking a lot slower. But still, that's a lot of activity, and I got one of my exercise.
A little longer.
Yeah, that's right. And I get to look at food I should not eat. I was very proud
of
myself.
How much of the food you should not eat did you eat?
All of it.
Where did you put that dill dog this time?
I didn't buy a dill dog, although they're there this year. No, I bought a pumpkin cream puff, which was delicious. Pumpkin burger, which is like it sounds weird, but it's not as weird as you think. It's more like a sloppy joe, but pumpkin in it. And the pumpkin pie spice. Yeah.
I like pumpkin bread, and that's about it.
Pumpkin bread's delicious. But you see, that breaks one of my rules. One of my rules when I go to this thing is if I can make it at home, I don't buy it. So I don't buy – there's pumpkin bread all over the place, but I won't buy it down there because I can make that.
Could make it home, but you simply don't. I mean, I'm sure you could fry our bread and fry up a freaking pickle.
My wife had a corn dog. So did my son.
Was there pumpkin in it?
I don't know what I'm going to – no, just a regular corn dog.
There wasn't a pumpkin stuff with a corn dog?
No.
Corn dog stuff with a pumpkin?
Now, this is just too weird for me. There is a stand down there selling pumpkin brats. It's like...
You probably can't taste the pumpkin in that. I mean, you gotta...
Probably can't, right.
Would be too overpowering.
It'll have, yeah, it might have the pumpkin, like cinnamon and nutmeg in it, maybe, but.
You've had roasted.
Disgusting. Okay.
You've had roasted pumpkin seeds, haven't you, pork, huh?
Of course. Yeah. I can't get those there.
They don't sell them there?
No, they do have them. Actually, same stand has both the pumpkin seeds and peanuts. I can get birch beer there,
you,
man.
You know I'm just going to keep harping on this. So, do they have a pumpkin-flavored dill dog?
No. I don't think so.
Did you ask?
No.
You can start a new trend.
Oh, I will say this. At the corn dog stand that we got, the wife's corn dogs, they did have a pumpkin sauce you can put on your corn dog, which, no. Only goes on a corn dog.
You drew the line there, huh?
Pumpkin salsa sounds like it'd be interesting. You know, a little bit of pureed pumpkin with some peppers and some tomatoes. You wouldn't even notice.
Well, see, that's the thing is a lot of people down there think the only thing you can do with pumpkin is sweet, which is not true. I mean, you can do savory if you do it right. Like, pumpkin chili is excellent. I've made that at home. And I like it.
If you're dealing with pumpkin purees, it's basically going to take on the flavor of whatever you're cooking.
That's
you can
exactly
get rid of
right.
the flavor of it entirely. I mean, right. I've used it to make protein bars as a solid fiber source.
Yep.
And yeah, you don't even taste it.
Yep. Yeah, but it just depends on what other spices you put in with it. That's like a pumpkin burger. You can't really taste the pumpkin in it. because it's got chili sauce in it.
We're going to come back to this next year and find out that Joel has opened his own stand at the fair, and he's selling those pumpkin-flavored dill dogs, and it's like, I can't get
No, you got it wrong, Joe. He's charging people to feed him the dill dog.
Nah.
Right, Joel?
Nah.
That's the gimmick.
The first one's only $1, but it doubles in price every time after that.
you're gross. It's a fun thing that we ended up that they did have a parade when we were there, and it was long as hell, man. I think it was the Little Miss Pumpkin Show parade. So there had to be 50 freaking girls riding on top of cars.
Man, you should have been in that parade, Joel.
No
way. You could have been the pumpkin.
I had a friend that was.
You could have been the pumpkin dill dog.
No.
Did she win?
No, she didn't win, unfortunately.
Who won?
I don't know. I know they announced it. And I have no idea who it is.
Start getting ads on YouTube for pumpkin dill dogs. Made by Joel.
That's what you could 3D print for the next show, Joel. Not our show, but for the next pumpkin show. It's just a hot dog sticking out of a pumpkin. No, maybe you better not do that. That would probably be taken the wrong way. They would escort you right out of there.
That's the thing in this conversation. It's getting taken the wrong way. Seriously.
Sorry, Murph.
Dan, you read the Wheel of Time series, didn't you?
Did I what?
Only like 15 times.
Okay. If you hear the question, Dan, you read Wheel of Time, right?
You know what? I'm going to disappoint you, Dave. I have not read. I think I've read one of the books.
Oh, wow. Never mind. I was going to ask you what you thought about the TV show.
I didn't watch it yet because I want to read the books.
I loved the book series so much that I could not put that aside to be able to fully watch and appreciate the TV show. And it's just too different.
I'm sort of on the same page with you. I've been trying to get my daughter to read the books, but you know, she doesn't have time, and will one day probably. But we've watched the show together, and I've really enjoyed the show. But they have deviated greatly.
I try to get my friends to read the series, and they'll make it through the first book easy enough. But then you know, the second, third, and fourth are kind of a bit slower and a bit more build, and even the fifth. I mean, it's not until after Knife of Dreams that things start getting good again. So
I enjoyed them all, but they were great. But I'm enjoying the TV show. I mean, we just finished season two, and I'm looking forward to season three. It's good, but it's not as good as the books.
I might give it another chance and try again, but I'm serious. I couldn't even make it through the first episode just because of how different it was.
It is different.
And I understand, you know, and I always tell people you should take it as completely separate when you watch it, but I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. There's several things about it that bother me.
Yeah, the kids are older, and I guess that's okay, but then, you know, what? Well, Perrin was married or something?
Yeah, the dragon could have been a woman, you know, stuff like that, you know, just... I'm enjoying it. Read the books, Dan.
Wait, are you supposed to read them in the order they were published, or is there a different...
Other than the prequel order.
Yeah, New Spring you can read first or last. It doesn't matter. That's the prequel. Yeah. Rest of them you read in order. And there's people that I tell you skip like 5, 6, and 7 or something, or 6, 7, and 8, but that's malarkey. You got to read them all.
But you don't say that, right?
A lot of subtle details that happen in all the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of reading. Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the audiobooks are well done.
The audiobooks are very well done. It's a husband and wife, and they read all 14 books, and they do a great job.
And they continued on with Brandon Sanderson reading his other books that he's come out with.
Yep. Mistborn. I listened to the Mistborn series.
The Cosmere stuff, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, dude, if you've listened to the Mistborn stuff and you liked it, you definitely need to check out the his other series. What is that? Hold on. Brandon Sanderson. The other books in the Cosmere series?
I don't think I've read those yet, so.
It's not the Kingkiller Chronicles. That's somebody else. Stormlight Archive.
Yeah, I've been meaning to. That's on my list.
Oh, dude, I love the Stormlight Archive. It is so good. And then he had those four books that just came out recently that he was doing on his own, with his own publishing and everything. Those are also really good. The audiobooks are excellent. Yumi, the Nightmare Painter. I just got done with Sunlit Man, which is really good. What is it? Tress and the Emerald Sea is really good as well. And then there's one other one. I'll bring it up. Because it's completely outside of all of the Cosmere stuff. The Frugal Wizard Handbook for Surviving Medieval England.
Okay.
And that was really good. Yeah.
Hey, did you read Hail? This is completely different. It's the guy that did The Martian. Hail Mary. Did you read that?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
They're making a movie. Making a movie out of that, I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
What I'm looking forward to, I think more than anything, is the adaptation of The Three-Body Problem. Have y'all read that?
No. I read the first book.
I read all three of them. They're just huge, epic, and amazing. But I've watched the Chinese TV show. I think there's an animated version I've not seen yet, but Netflix, I think December or January is coming out with the American version of it.
I did watch or read.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that.
It looks. I'm looking forward to that.
What series was that?
The Three-Body Problem by Sheshung Lee. It's a Chinese science fiction. It's really good.
Okay, no, you were talking about Andy Weir.
Yeah.
Project Hail Mary was good, but I liked Artemis a lot better. His second book.
I've not read that one yet.
Yeah, that one's good. It's about
the moon.
Yeah, they put a station on the moon and how they survive there and the economy that gets built up there.
I did read The Player 2.
Did you? What did you think of it?
I liked it a lot. It was a good book.
I didn't think it was anywhere near as good as the first one.
True.
There's a bit of a MacGuffin there.
And they also didn't. I just don't see how they can. Yeah, if they make a sequel to the movie, it's going to be different because the movie was so different than the original book was.
They're going to have a really hard time incorporating the second book into a movie.
Yeah, it's just not going to fit in the how they left off the timeline of the movie.
Yeah,
I mean there's some Klein fans that absolutely hated the movie. I am not one of them. I loved the movie for what it was.
Yeah, you know, I understood the fact that the licensing was so difficult with the
right
converting the book to the movie that was really only the only way that they could do it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is they couldn't go full on, because let's face it. The only people who knew about the stuff that was in the chat, like playing Joust against a lich, okay? Nobody in the normal verse that's not in the verse would know what that is.
Right, and yeah, they kind of cheaped out on that first one. Oh, you drive on the racetrack backwards and everything works. Okay.
I only went to go see that movie to see the Tomb of Horrors in a movie, and they did.
It wasn't there. It was completely different.
It wasn't even the Tomb of Horrors. Wait, wasn't that the first
the
thing?
Yeah, the Tomb of Horrors was the first one with the Lich and the Joust.
Yeah. And they did the racetrack. The racetrack.
And let's face it, watching him play, like, even though they did the final key was identical, almost not quite, but very close to identical to the book.
Right, finding the first Easter egg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, but it was, you know, they didn't focus as much time on him doing that, you know.
That race scene, though, I test every surround sound system I've ever had. I test that with that scene.
Oh, man. It was, to me, it was very well executed, that scene. I mean, it was so cool. And that's a kind of movie, too, that when you watch it, you see new shit almost every time you watch it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, I didn't see that, the Battletoads in the last time I watched it, but they're there.
Yeah.
Or the Gundam. The Gundam was too easy, but, you know.
And they did not have as much of that nostalgia factor built into the second one. There was a bit here and there.
In the book, Well,
80s movies, there was a bit there as well.
That's what I liked about the first book was all the nostalgia. So, I mean, if it's not there in the second, I don't know if I enjoyed it as much.
There is not as much of it. Some of it's there. It's not as prevalent.
No, there was a whole level about Prince in the book.
Yeah. But, you know, it was basically just battling Prince. That's it. The Prince. Wow.
Formerly known as Prince.
I'm talking bad about it, but it still was not that bad. It was good. It just wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah, I agree.
A while back, they made an Ender's Game movie. Didn't see it, but is it as good as the book or not?
Nowhere near. Okay. Nowhere near.
Book's just fantastic.
It's one of my favorite books of all time, and one of the best audiobooks that I've ever gone through.
Yep.
Yeah, I did, because it's semi-nostalgia, I did watch the Bill and Ted's Face the Music.
Been meaning to.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was nowhere near as good as it should have been, but...
Yeah, I don't know if it's really going to have that nostalgia factor for me, though.
Yeah, there really wasn't a lot of it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first two, but really, what's the third one going to add to it?
That's the thing, you know, is it was... Yeah, well, and that's the other thing too. Is they had this thing called MP46. They had to play this song that they had to write at MP46. And when you finally find out what MP46 is, you're like, they don't call it that in the real world.
I don't even know if I saw the second movie,
A Bogus Journey.
I don't think I've seen it.
With that's an awesome
still
one.
Good. Yeah. I mean, the Star Trek reference, I mean, pretty major
there. Yeah, yeah. That, and, then the final song was God Gave Rock and Roll to You by Kiss. Which they sung it, but, you know.
Speaking of that, we got to journey our way out of here.
We do, man.
It's quitting time. And Dave's got to get up to watch his grandson, right?
Yeah, grandson. Yep.
Yeah, grandson.
Oh boy!
Oh yay! All right, everybody. Thank you, everybody. We still got one show before Halloween.
We do. Yeah.
And that's where we are. So, everybody have a great week. Get your 3D glasses at what? 7-Eleven, right?
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. We have too many 7-Elevens here. We have a place where there's a 7-Eleven across the street from another 7-Eleven.
Like
you and 7-Elevens and us and Starbucks, because Little Grove City has six of them.
All right. Here we go. Playing the promos for Dave. Have a great one, everybody. And then you got to ask, why didn't the promos play?
Dan didn't press the button. He's compiling the kernel again.
Wait, why didn't they play? They should have played. Did I screw something up? No. This is
Into it.
There we go. Wait.
I am short.
There we go.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
You know, one thing they did have down there that I may revisit and buy stuff off of is there's a whole stand that had a whole bunch of freeze-dried candy.
Oh, there you go.
You ever tried freeze-dried Skittles?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, they're weird.
You add water to it to eat it?
No, you just munch on it.
Oh, you eat them dry. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you could, but I don't know how that would work. Yeah, that's the whole interesting thing about it. It's almost got me wanting to buy my own freeze dryer for the house. But they're like $5,000, so I'm like, yeah. No.
What's stopping you?
Well, I think the other
he's got to get that charger first, Dave.
Well, the other things you could do.
Get your freeze dryer, Alex.
Well, you can freeze dry like meals and stuff too, and then you would just rehydrate them.
As it sounds like an extra tip.
Well, but you can store a freeze dry meal a lot longer than you can a regular meal.
Yeah, you can put them in those vacuum bags and put them under your bed and keep them all winter.
Under my bed. it's like we're at the store at Sam's Club, and I go, "Hey, Luke, do you want to get some ramen?" He's like, "Dad, we're not that poor."
We were in Walmart tonight, and there was a college kid in there. I kid you not, he had 48 cup ramens in his buggy.
Hey, cup ramen's good.
Oh yeah, we had four in our bud, but he had 48.
Yeah.
Y'all call them buggies up there, or is that a hillbilly thing?
Buggies. Call them what?
No, that's just
carts.
Carts.
Yeah. Shop.
Yeah, we call them buggies down here.
At least you don't call them a trolley.
Dave, a lorry. Yeah.
If you enjoyed Project Hail Mary, then I highly recommend Daniel Suarez's Delta V.
Okay.
Oh, man, that's so good. I love the Daniel Suarez books.
I'm writing that down.
Actually, yeah, all of the Daniel Suarez books are really good. But
wait. What's the sequel to Delta V?
Critical Mass, which is coming out this
year.
That's
right. Wait, it came out already.
Okay, well, it came out this year then.
Yeah, Critical Mass was when they... I can't talk about it.
They go back... I read that one too, because they were going and trying to save all their friends, but...
Wait, that's not Delta V, that's Critical Mass,
Critical
right?
Mass, where they went up to try and save their friends.
Yes, Delta...
Delta V is where they, left their friends.
Wait a minute, Dave. Please tell me you read Damon.
No. Who wrote
that?
Oh,
dude.
Oh, my God.
Damon and Freedom are excellent.
This Daniel Suarez again?
Yes. Same author.
Oh, my goodness.
How you spell Suarez?
Yeah.
S-U-A-R-E-V.
Yeah. Like, when you get to the end of Damon, it's just like, you're like, oh, my God. It's so okay. good. Then you got to go right into Freedom.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
And Kill Decision. Kill Decision is good, too, but I really enjoyed Change Agent.
Yeah.
Change Agent. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
You know what? Just get all his books and read them in the order that he published and you can't go wrong.
I'll see if I can find the audiobooks.
You can. I did.
Okay.
They're so good.
Man, I'm telling you, Dan the Wolf Pit's been putting out a lot of videos lately.
Holy crap! He's like every other day? And I've seen them all. Oh, he loved that Guy Fieri's Sweet and Sour Pulled Pork.
I'll have to watch that one. He today, the one he brought.
Oh, I shouldn't have ruined it for you. I thought you watched it.
Today's was our Red Lobster's coconut shrimp worth $7.48. That's the frozen one. That one just came out 5 hours ago.
Oh, he just did a Red Lobster one last week, I think, too.
I'll have to look at the Flavor Time one, or Town one, yeah.
My wife drugged me to Red Lobster this past week, and I can't remember the last time I went to Red Lobster. It's been 5 years.
Good, man.
It's been 25 years. They have this, you know, the endless shrimp, and my wife had 8 helpings of shrimp. I think I had four, and it's like, I'm tired of shrimp, but she had me keep ordering. That way she could eat mine, too.
Smart woman.
Yeah, she's got all the food life hacks down.
Wait, was it unlimited?
I think
they have eight styles,
and they bring you out three at first, and then you can have whichever one you want. And you know, but you got to want them one at a time after that.
See, I like shrimp, but I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, 4 helpings was. Well, I think I had 5. They bring you 3, then I think I got 2 more. But she had 8 total. 5 total. Oh, yeah.
Man, she must love her shrimp. Tell you, man, tell her come up here. We'll stuff her full of shrimp straight from
the water.
She likes
crab. She loves crab legs.
I need to go to way down yonder and get me some more crawfish etouffee.
Oh yeah, I love oysters.
She like oysters?
She does. I like them raw, but
that's what I do.
Yeah, I like them steamed and I like them
raw.
She loves them fried, which I'm not a fan of fried oysters.
Shuck them right.
No, I want gator.
No.
Oh, I love
gator. Yeah.
Gator just tastes clean.
I've had shark before.
You just go out to your swimming pool, right? And pull it right out of there.
My swimming pool's been closed for 2 years. Because I think when COVID hit, there was a chlorine plant explosion or fire one, and the price of chlorine tripled. We just couldn't afford to keep it open. We're going to open it next year, but it's been closed for 2 years. Up until it frosted last week, we had, you know, thousands of frogs.
is yours like the kind of has that vinyl liner on it?
Yeah, it's an in-ground pool.
I hope it don't leak.
I'm sure it did. I think we're looking at converting to salt water when we open it again.
Here you go. Yeah, my brother-in-law's has been down for 3 years, probably, mostly because he can't afford to get a freaking liner.
Yeah, everything's just crazy. But we don't have to open it next year either. I mean, the reason we're going to open it is because we got a grandkid now, but he's not going to be swimming until, you know, a couple of years. But
it's like everything is like that. Like, I went to Men's Warehouse to get a new dress shirt for this wedding I'm going to down in Roanoke. And it was $70 for a dress shirt. I'm just like, baffled. I'm like, it wasn't like Van Heusen. It was actually Calvin Klein. That's not why I bought it. I bought it because it fit. But yeah, I need to take that the black suit I want to wear to the cleaners yet too.
It won't. I got to get it in like at the right angle and tight enough so that it doesn't pop out. And then I have to be like really careful when I put it down that it doesn't pop out. And when it does, like it's just such a, I don't know. It just pisses me off so much. Like, no matter what I try to do, it just will not make the connection with the USB cable.
Weird. Time to take and go get it fixed. Or try and fix it yourself, which one of the two.
And that's the problem with these things. It's like, is it going to cost more to try and get it fixed than it is to buy a new one? And if I try to fix it myself, am I going to end up screwing it up? And then I'm going to have to go buy a phone anyway.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Like, why?
Well, you got what, a 5?
4.
Yeah, I'd get a new one at this age.
And like, I've charged it, like when I plugged it in the charge last night. The cat must have knocked the cable because it was almost like out this morning. So I plugged it in this morning, got it up to 100%, and now it's at like 11%. And I'm like, what the hell? I haven't even done anything on it all day. Right, kitty?
Right.
What is this? Alright, let me see if restarting it is going to make a difference for me. Nope. It just put it down to 9% instead of 11. Hold on, I'll be right back. Maybe by the time I get right back, Dave Yates will be on.
Must have been a while since I bought a dress shirt, because I went and over the weekend I went and got a dress shirt for a wedding I got coming up, and $70. I thought Men's Warehouse was supposed to be cheap. Guess I was wrong. But since I'm on vacation and I could take the extra time at the gym yesterday and Monday, I did weights on both days. Then when I go, probably tomorrow will be leg day.
Right now, but yeah.
Leg day and maybe Tabata. They're contemplating possibly canceling it for this week just because we got Pumpkin Show this week. The dill dog stand was there again, but I did not get one. It's just too grody.
All right, now it's actually charging.
There you go.
On the charger next to my bed.
Does that have the wireless charging?
No. I wish it did. Then I wouldn't have this problem, right?
There you go.
Yeah, the thing that like chaps my ass is now when I go up to bed, it's either going to be completely charged or it's going to be dead.
The Pixel 4, does that have, or well, your Pixel, does that have access to the battery?
You mean, can I take it off and, like, the back off and get to the battery?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I don't think it does. No. I'd have to double check, but I don't think it does without, like, having to, like, really crack open the case.
Yeah, you're going to have to crack it open.
Not like the old time phones where you could take the battery and replace the battery and you can, you know, just pop the back off and access to everything, right?
Well, back. If you could take the back off, you could also add in wireless charging.
Well, I mean, if I wanted to take the back off, I think I got to do that, heat it up so that the adhesive would have...
Like, if the back was removable, you could add in wireless charging.
No, it's not. Ugh. Because Dave Yates is back again.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Second ago in the audio test room, what happened to him? Oh, he went to the listening booth. He's like, no, I don't want to join you guys. You guys suck.
Look at this. He piggybacked on my name. He had to do Dave, capital S, Yates. Like mine, Dan, capital S. Oh, no, he didn't capitalize the Y. He's got to come in. I got a question for him. I got a question for all of you. But it would be more beneficial if he was here for that question. Let me get the audio geared up here.
Get it up.
Get it going.
That's what she said.
I put Ubuntu 2310 on my Pi 4.
Oh, sweet. Does it crash when you touch your screen?
No, I think that the bug is out of it and on this one too. Well, that and the other thing too is I think both the newer, that's the newest release I could find. They haven't released, they're working on the Raspberry Pi OS for this year yet. I assume it's going to come out before the Pi 5 does, before it ships, I should say. But Raspberry Pi OS is switching to Wayland. I have to look and see if they did the same thing on Ubuntu.
Oh, look at that.
Here's Merv. Hi, Merv.
You know what? The question that I have might also apply to Merv, too. He could weigh in on it. Oh, no stream. That's right. I apologize, Merv. I was too busy trying to get my phone to charge and watching Dave Yates go in and out. You know what, Joe?
Dave is having trouble. Well, what's your question, Dan?
No, I can't ask it until the show starts.
Okay.
Because it's too important. Like, people got to know. Everybody's going to want to know. Like, this is a big question, Mark.
Go get a new phone, Dan.
This is a big question.
Go get a new phone. Go get a new phone.
It has nothing to do with the phone, but, oh man, what was I just about to say? Oh, Joe, you know what I feel really guilty about? Like, when I play your daughter saying I am short in the show, I feel like I gotta put enough other clips in between it and, like, whatever Pegwell says and the sushi in the bedroom thing, because I feel like it'd be wrong to have them back to back. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel right.
I hear you.
Hey, if you didn't want to upgrade, but you just wanted a phone that works, Amazon has one for $159.99, Google Pixel 4.
Yeah, you know what? I aside from the charging, that issue with the charging port, it's been a fantastic phone. I love it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I guess we're gonna see Mr. Yates pop in and out. I don't know what the deal is there. Maybe he switched to using Windows.
Nah. He'd never do that.
He's there. He's having trouble getting into the room, apparently.
I mean, I see him pop in there. That's really odd. Anyway, let's start the show. I'll ask the question in a little bit. We'll get a few minutes. There's plenty to talk about. And all right, so make sure everything's in order. This is show 1023.